This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So us observing the signs of the end of times and knowing the signs of the end of times, the least we could say it's a fundamental importance of religion. I think you could really make an argument whether it's a pillar or not. And my own more direct shuyukh do not categorize it that way, though that is a bath of Habib Abu Bakr Mashhur, rahimahullah, who we hold great love for and respect for. Allah yarhamu.
Allah yarhamu.
Last few years. Another point that everyone should understand, without doubt, we are in the latter days.
Subhanallah.
Qat'an. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from the signs of the latter days.
Subhanallah.
Right? Yasalunaka an as-sa'a ayyana mursaha fima anta min dhikraha. They ask you of the final hour, when will it come? Why would they ask you that? You are from its signs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can understand that from that verse in Surah An-Naziat, right? So he's from the sign of the end of times. Anything after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is latter days. And then also with the signs of the end of times, there are major and minor signs. Many of the minor signs have been here for hundreds of years. And the ulama have been saying that for hundreds of years. Like, this is a sign of the end of times. This, the minor signs, many, many of them have been here. Then there are major signs. And major signs, you're getting into things like Isa, the Dajjal, Khuruj al-Mahdi, Gog and Magog, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj, and so on. Those are major signs, right? The hour is very, very near at that point. As for the minor signs, they're here. So then with respect to, and this leads to why I didn't give it as much focus and detail as perhaps some of my peers did, and even some of my shuyukh. Now, a principle that our shuyukh taught us and kind of got on our case about, because preoccupation with, for example, the khuruj of the Mahdi or the coming, the nuzul of Isa alayhi salam, that is something that has happened, again, for quite a long time. There are those that predicted the Mahdi, those that predicted Isa, even unfortunately those that have made claims of being the Mahdi, and so on. And without any disrespect to the kesh, to the unveilings that the righteous receive, and those many times are like dreams, somewhat allegorical, we can say that the preoccupation with it is reprehensible. Preoccupation with it for an aspirant, for a spiritual traveler, with visions, with major signs of the end of times, with such and such wali said this is going to happen at this time, that's reprehensible, because the goal of one's aspiration in drawing nearer to Allah is nothing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. The goal is not a vision, even of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? That's not, the himmah of the salik is above that, right? The himmah of the aspirant is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So to make the goal anything other than that, like a vision or a clairvoyance, like a keshf of this is going to happen on this date, and that does happen, but it's not an objective in and of itself. So actually they got on our case because some of our brothers were talking about the Mahdi and this and that about the Mahdi, or Isa and this and that about Isa. And essentially they said, you're supposed to be talking to the people about the pillars of the religion and the fundamentals of the religion. You're supposed to be talking to people about al-wudu and as-salah and zakah and, you know, birr al-walidain and so on. And as for his appearance, the Mahdi does not need talk.
Mm.
The Mahdi requires istiqama, uprightness. And if we're upright and the Mahdi were to appear today, great, Allahu Akbar. And if we're not upright and he were to appear, we may be, as stated in what you've read, of those who opposed him with the adab Allah Ta'ala. So for that reason, I didn't give it a whole lot of focus. And beyond, for example, the hadith that you read, I can't comment on the Sufyani. All I could say is, you know, some of the hadith in Kitab al-Fitan events that have happened in about the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We sat with some of our shuyukh, and they were essentially like, why are people even arguing about this chain?
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at this right in front of us.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.
Allah's messenger informed us of the gravity of events in the latter days. And when we see many of these signs unfolding, many, many of these signs, just it's just undeniably unfolding in front of us, it should behoove us to recognize the gravity of the time in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly those of us in North America, some of the things that have been predicted, we see indications of those, and I won't say that they're to the full throttle of those.
Mm-hmm.
That the Prophet ﷺ listed various fitan in a hadith. Abu Dawood narrates it, and he begins with fitna ad-duhayma, the great dark fitna. And he said that it wouldn't leave any Muslim except that it smacked them in the face. Latamatu latma. And then he said, yusbihu rajul mu'minan wa yumsi kafiran. That in that fitna, a person will be a believer in the morning and a disbeliever in the night. Hatta yasira nas fustatain. Until people were formed into two camps. Fustat iman la nifaqafi. A camp of pure faith, and there's no hypocrisy in it. Fustat nifaq la imanafi. And a fustat, and he didn't say kufr, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said nifaq. A camp of hypocrisy. And nifaq, like a technical definition of nifaq, is it appears to be Islam and inwardly it's disbelief.
SubhanAllah.
And he said, when they reach that point, wait for the Dajjal min yomihi yawadihi.
SubhanAllah.
So in our situation, there we do have an issue of apostasy. I mean, us, right? North American, especially, you know, university trained, you know, young and middle aged people, and younger. We're seeing substantial apostasy with the Adha Billah Ta'ala. And then, personally speaking, I see a lot of things, man. It's brown-skinned people with names like Amr and Bakr and Safiya. I'm trying to find a name that's not a mother of believer. Layla. But frankly speaking, as someone who's embraced Islam, and especially someone who grew up around a lot of like atheist, agnostic, very liberal people, I grew up in Berkeley, California, the values... and some of the behavior that's condoned, and I'll say explicitly, like the embracing of the homosexual agenda, I fear that that's headed towards the fustat of nifaq.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so these are grave times, and grave times warrant, you know, hardcore adherence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as these latter days come and these fitan come, there's going to be camps of pure faith and camps of pure hypocrisy. It behooves a believer when they see, you know, indications of those camps forming, that they try their, you know, make an ijtihad and a jihad and their level best, that them and their spouse and their children and their household and their loved ones and as many people as they can help to be in the camp of iman exist in that camp, and as many people as can be invited away from apostasy and nifaq, without obviously ever accusing someone of that. Unless they make that statement themselves of apostasy, invite them to back to Allah, and we should take a stand. We should take a stand in this time. That's what I have to say.